of Burn Scars, a 2026 feature documentary produced by Backbone Films and directed by the award-winning Hilary Batchelder, also the company founder. The Doc, a world premiere at Mountain Film 2026, examines the 2022 New Mexico prescribed burn, which escaped to create the state's largest wildfire in history. The story uncovers the devastating impact on local communities, the conflict over land management, and efforts to heal in the Southwest. This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. Delighted to be speaking with Hilary about her life and work, including her latest project. Again, the name is Burn Scar. Hilary, thanks for taking time out of your schedule to join me.
Thanks so much for having the conversation.
My pleasure. So as someone based in Taos, how and when and in what ways were you personally impacted by the 2022 Hermit's Peak Calf Canyon fire?
Yeah, so I moved to Taos actually in the fall of 2021. So I had only been living in northern New Mexico for about 7 or 8 months before the fire started. Mm-hmm. And we were fairly lucky in Taos County. You know, the fire only kind of came up to the edge of the county. It was maybe about 20 miles away from where I live. But there was that period of 3 or 4 months where just every day you would wake up and see the column of smoke out the window and, you know, the sky would be gray or red. And during that period, I kind of just was realizing that, you know, I'm someone who didn't grow up in the Southwest. I didn't have a relationship to fire at all before this. And I really needed to change what my relationship to fire looked like if I wanted to keep living in this place.
Thank you for that. Very clear. So how do you approach telling the story of Burn Scar when a rather major government agency, namely the Forest Service, is both a subject and arguably responsible for the disaster?
Yeah, so the film, as you mentioned in the intro, it, you know, we follow members of the Forest Service, and we're also following community members and families who live in the Burn Scar who lost everything or were devastated by the fires and the subsequent floods. So we have kind of protagonists from both sides of the story that we're following over about 3 or 4 years. And, you know, we really tried to find the room for both empathy and critique on both sides within that framing. I mean, the Forest Service messed up in this instance. Like the fire, the prescribed fire was absolutely a disaster and devastated these communities. But we do believe that prescribed fire and managed fire is important on the landscape. And, you know, they were acting, they were guided by the best available science when they went out to start those burns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, tragedies like this can happen. But we do think the story just leaves a lot of kind of open room for that empathy and understanding on both sides.
Thank you for that. So in that context, what, if anything, do you hope the film will actually change in policy, in land management practices, and in public awareness?
Yeah, it's a great question. And there's a lot. I'll try and be succinct with it all. But, you know, one of the things that we see is that in northern New Mexico, because the government started the fire and took responsibility for it, they established FEMA there to, like, reimburse the families, kind of acting as an insurance agency normally would. But in this region, like, they're standing up this agency to work in a way that it never had before. And it's been a mess. You know, we're 4 years out and there's still families waiting on compensation. And there's honestly, there's been some scandals with the FEMA leadership that have been replaced. So we do hope to draw some attention to what's still outstanding in that area and get those folks some real support. You know, as I mentioned, we also still believe that prescribed fire is an important tool in the landscape, and we have concerns. You know, there's this news that's just come out about potential or proposed restructuring of the Forest Service. It's kind of looking at moving the Forest Service more towards logging and mechanical thing and less from managed fire and prescribed fire as we understand it. So we hope to call attention to that as well. And then one of the things that really comes through in the story is just this need for more collaborative stewardship practices on our public lands. You know, I would love to see a world in which more of our national forests were being managed with, you know, not just input from local communities, but real agency and collaboration and kind of co-management in those spaces.
Great answer. Thank you for that. At your company, Backbone Films, you wear multiple hats. You're a director, you're a cinematographer, you're an editor, which is not the norm. How does holding all three roles simultaneously impact your creative vision? Do you see the disparate, albeit related, roles as an advantage or as a constraint?
Both. Realistically, it's both. So, you know, I'll speak to the advantages first. I think I've always felt that being an editor makes me a better shooter when I'm out in the mm-hmm. field. I know what I need to capture that's going to make the scene come together. And I think being an editor, or being a shooter actually makes me a more patient editor as well when I'm sitting on an edit and frustrated that people, you know, didn't get this shot or didn't get that shot. I can reflect back and remember how challenging it actually was with all the moving pieces at the time. So I do think that there's an advantage there, but I'll say with this story in particular, it was not the plan for me to wear all the hats. We actually, last year, we were selected as a project for co-production with PBS, and mm-hmm. that would have come with a sizable, well, thank you, but would have come with an investment or co-production funds and distribution that would have allowed us to bring on a full-time editor, which is what we were hoping for at the time. And this was right before, unfortunately, the rescission vote happened. Mm. And so we had the offer, and then it went away when the Corporation for Public Broadcasting was defunded. So, it meant that I did wear more hats on this film than I was entirely expecting. But I also, it just meant that I needed to lean more on a consulting editor and our producing team to kind of round out the creative side of the storytelling.
That's a classic. Necessity is the mother of, right?
What's that?
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah, to a degree, yeah, for sure. With documentary, that's always the case.
Yeah. So how do you navigate, or did you navigate, the complexity of representing Hispanic communities in northern Mexico without speaking over that population or extracting their story for outside audiences?
Yeah, thank you for that question. And I hope it's one that people continue to ask me as this film comes out in the world, because it's not really a one or done thing. Mm-hmm. I'm a white lady and I didn't grow up in northern New Mexico, so I absolutely have cultural blind spots. And so I think the best that I'm able to do is, you know, to put together a team that reflects the culture here and to lean on them and to just be moving slowly through the storytelling. That's a lot of years of relationship building and trying to really invite people into the process along the way and continue to share, mm-hmm. share the story with them, mm-hmm. Which we've done our best to do. And then, you know, I bought my first house in Taos, and I'm not planning on going anywhere anytime soon. So I think it's sort of just I will be held accountable by all of my neighbors and community at the end of the day. You know, I think to your point about extraction, I'm not planning to extract the story and take it anywhere. You know, it's hopefully it will continue to live in northern New Mexico, and we really want to have the tough conversations and dialogues there.
Great answer. Thank you for that. How a filmmaker balances deep personal investment in a place and in its people with the discipline to tell a story that works for audiences who have no connection whatsoever to New Mexico. I guess I should phrase that. How does a filmmaker balance? Mm. So your answer on that one?
Yeah, I tend to think that actually, like, the more specific you are, the more universal a story is. Mm-hmm. I think we actually had some really we had some scenes in the film that at one time we were considering kind of broadening the story and having conversations about or making references to like other fires and floods across the country. And we ended up taking it out at the end of the day because we felt it was like, it was a little pandering to an audience. It was like, I think audiences are sophisticated. They can see a story here and they can, if you have these strong characters, if you have strong themes, people are going to connect the dots on their own without you, you know, holding their hands. And we do, like, what comes through in the film are these themes around land management and the climate crisis and rural communities with complex relationships to the federal government. You know, all of that really can live in so many communities across the Southwest, the West, the country.
Thanks for that very clear, very honest, very right on answer. So a little bit on your background. What drew you to documentary filmmaking specifically as opposed to narrative film? And was it always your plan to have a career in movie making?
It's certainly what I was excited about when I was younger. My parents had one of those kind of straight to VHS tape like camcorders. I used to make little movies with my stuffed animal and my brother and my friends. So I was kind of always interested, and that's what I ended up going to college for. But I had in the back of my head that I would probably need a backup plan, and that I wasn't sure that I would be able to do this full time. I was really kind of more in the fiction world until I took a documentary class in college. And I made a short film about a woman who was doing nude modeling, like for artists and paintings. And it was meant to just be like a 5-minute little profile of her. And then over the course of me filming with her, she actually decided she was going to stop modeling. She was going to like move back home. And it was this kind of major life change for her. And she really invited me into that. And there was just sort of an intimacy and a realness to being alongside someone for a transition in their life that I hadn't experienced when you sit down and you write a script and you cast people. So I got a little hooked, and and I have just loved, like, with documentary, you get to be interested about all of these different things in your life and just dive deep into them for a few years at a time. And like, when else was I ever going to, you know, call up someone from the Forest Service and say, let me tag along while you set things on fire for a couple of years?
Yeah.
It feels pretty incredible to get to do that. I've been lucky in that I've been able to make the career work and pay, you know, enough of my bills along the way.
Congrats on that. These are very challenging times for creatives. So finally, what are you looking forward to most about bringing a world premiere to Mountain Film?
Well, we're so excited. Honestly, I've been able to come out to Mountain Film just once before, a couple of years ago, with a film that I edited. And I was so impressed by how engaged the local community was. It was like every restaurant we went to, it was just like a ton of locals who wanted to tell me about which screenings they were excited to go see. So we're so stoked about that. And then I think, you know, to be able to screen this film first in a place like Colorado that's right next door and facing so many of the same challenges that Northern New Mexico is, we really think the film will resonate. And it's as kind of a bonus, we're close enough that we're able to drive out a ton of the participants, you know, the protagonists who are in our film for the premiere. So we're going to have like a whole contingent of a couple dozen folks who've been a part of this film, who are also so excited to come and watch their story in the theater. So I think that's going to be really, really special. And I hope folks can come join us.
Your enthusiasm is infectious. Thank you so much for taking the time, Hillary. This has been Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with Hillary Batchelder about her life and work and her upcoming debut at Mountain Film with a world premiere titled Burn Scar. Hillary, again, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.